Unlock big savings and add style and security to your home with high-quality Schlage door locks from Menards. Whether you're looking for a traditional interior lock or a Wi-Fi-compatible electronic lock, Menards has you covered. With more than 200 options of Schlage door locks in stock, save big on all door locks. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Dylan Gemmelli podcast. So today is a very, very special episode. We have a lot to cover. My guest has been through a lot, and we have a lot here in common. We want to talk about some issues we want to discuss. So she is a certified nutritionist. She's a natural food chef. She's a four-time global best-selling author known for her books, The Earth Diet, Cancer-Free with Food, and that's ranked among the top 100 cancer books of all time. Dr. Mark Hyman actually wrote a foreword in there. She's got 10-minute recipes and anxiety-free with food, and she's also the founder of Liana's Organics, and she has an organic supplement line, which I stand behind, and in 2021, she also launched her anxiety supplement, so she's got a lot going on. My friends, this is Liana Werner-Gray.
Dylan, thank you so much for having me, and hello to everyone. Excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're traveling. I know you got a ton going on, so I appreciate it, and I'm sure all of my followers and everybody out there is going to appreciate this. So I want to get into everything while I've got the time with you. So you have a very, very inspiring, interesting, intriguing story. So let's discuss some of the things that you've been through, why you wrote, you know, the cancer books that you wrote, and why that you're in the space that you're in right now.
Yeah. So I had no idea that I would be doing this when I was younger. There's no way. I ended up, you know, with cancer, and then I healed it, and it like ignited my passion, my purpose. So I was in media. I went to college for media. I thought I was going to be doing making movies and going do TV stuff. And I was doing editing. I was doing light and sound, some assistant work. I did a little bit of acting too. I thought that was like so much fun. And then when I was 21, I ended up with a golf ball sized tumor, 3.7 centimeters on my throat right here in my lymphatic system. And that was my wake up call. And that changed my whole life. And a little bit of backstory was I grew up in outback Australia. So I grew up in the very heart of Australia, in a town called Alice Springs. So it's like right in the center. And I went to an Aboriginal school. And so we learned from the Indigenous people. I remember from age 5, we learned that you could heal anything. And the Indigenous people survived for thousands of years without technology and civilization, off just the Great Spirit, God, and food and themselves. And so they taught me all these like natural remedies, and that you could heal naturally, and that the healthiest way for us to eat is to go out to our own backyard and pick the food straight from there, because that's essentially eating God or God's creation. And so that was always like planted in my brain. And then at 16, I ended up trying to deal with some crazy abuse from childhood, and I turned to food as my drug of choice. And I did not know how to, you know, to process and cope. So I just started binge eating on junk food, and I felt guilty. I felt bad because I knew it was like so far removed from nature. Mm-hmm. But I quickly became very addicted. And after 5 years of binge eating, and I mean all day, every day, all I ate was junk food. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. It was all just fast food, like McDonald's and KFC and Pizza Hut and Tim Tams and lollies. Cadbury chocolate, all the Australian junk foods, and which are healthier. Australian junk foods are healthier than American junk foods.
I believe it.
Yeah. It's still unhealthy. And after 5 years of that, I ended up in hospital getting a biopsy done on my neck. And the doctors told me I had early stages of cancer. And not only that, they diagnosed me with chronic fatigue. I was riddled with parasites in my blood. My digestive system was barely working. I was yellow. I was heavier. And that was the rock bottom that I needed, because I tried for so long to break this addiction, this vicious cycle of binge eating, and I couldn't get out of it. And so finally, that's what got me on my knees, prayed to God. I said, God, I need something bigger than myself. I know how to be healthy. I mean, we all know how to be healthy, right? It's like, eat more fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, eat from the earth, eat as our indigenous ancestors ate. But then for a lot of people, you know, still struggling today with this bridge of like, okay, there's like cellular memory, there's addiction, there's emotional stuff. And so anyway, God led me to create the Earth Diet. And the Earth Diet is all about going back to nature and eating all of our favorite foods, but made in a healthy, wholesome way. So when I had the tumor, instead of doing the conventional route, surgery and chemo and all of that, surgery was what was most offered to me, just to cut it out. I said no, because the indigenous people also, what I learned from them is that if you just get something cut out of your body, but you don't actually go deep and address the root cause, it's going to pop up somewhere else. So I was terrified of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was blessed enough to know a naturopath. She introduced me to a functional doctor, and I worked with them, and they gave me a detox plan. And so I did this detox plan with them, and they said, we're going to focus on your gut health. And if we heal your gut and, you know, get your gut in good shape, it's going to drain your lymphatic system and the tumor is going to dissolve. So this was at a time when no one was really talking about gut health.
Mm-hmm.
Now everyone knows, okay, it's all about the gut. But back then, that was the first time I heard it, but it made sense because my gut was in terrible shape. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. I trusted them, did the detox plan. And in 3 months, the tumor was completely dissolved.
Wow.
Completely gone. Yeah. I mean, it was an extensive 3-month detox, though. You know, I couldn't have worked a job during that time.
Wow, that is crazy. But that goes to show you, because so many people are focused on that you have to take medicines and medicines, and there's always natural abilities to heal, which is what I always stand by. And I think I may have told you this, but when we spoke before, but I always have been under and will always be under the belief that God has put something on earth to heal whatever comes up at any time. There's something there if we just utilize it and use it properly. So I'm so happy that you are talking about this and you found that out for yourself.
Yeah, it's true. God really has everything. He's thought of everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
I'd say he's planned ahead for all of these things that pop up, right?
Yeah. He knows everything that's happening. He's like, okay, yeah, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And it's amazing that, you know, for just one natural thing that God's provided is bentonite clay. So when I was sick, I went and did a live blood test, and I could see in the blood, I was riddled with parasites, riddled. It was so disturbing to see that, just them little critters, like little worms invading my blood. And that's when the doctor said, you need to start drinking bentonite clay. Like today, people are taking ivermectin to kill the parasites, to heal cancer. In Australia, I don't even know if it existed then. This was 15 years ago, but I started drinking the bentonite clay, and bentonite clay has strong magnetic properties. So it pulls the parasites and then locks it into its antibodies and then pulls out the parasites when the clay leaves the body. So I started drinking that every single day. And the cool thing about bentonite clay is like, it is such a gift from God, because it's so cheap. And this is the thing. God doesn't want us to have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars when we're sick and healing.
No,
we can turn to nature. And, you know, a tub of bentonite clay is like 10, 20 bucks. And it lasts a long time. And it's so creative. Bentonite clay is literally lava. So when a volcano erupts, into lava and breaks down into ash. It's called bentonite clay. So we are drinking lava, which is so amazing. And I feel like if more biohackers knew that, like we're actually drinking lava, they would just get on board. I mean, it's just so cool to drink to drink lava. But that's why it has strong magnetic properties. And so everywhere around the world where a volcano erupted into lava, there is bentonite clay ash. And the indigenous people have known this for thousands of years. The Egyptians actually used to drink it to purify their body. And also they use it for beauty purposes too. So it's amazing for beautiful, lush hair, skin, and nails to drink the clay.
Wow. That's why I wrote that down. I've honestly never heard of it before. And this is one of the beauties of doing this. I get to learn so many different things. But so this is similar then to something like ivermectin in terms of not necessarily the properties, but this will actually go in and clean out or help to get rid of a parasite, correct?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. What other functions does it have or what other kind of benefits would you find with this?
Well, it gets rid of also candida overgrowth, and it also gets rid of heavy metals. It binds heavy metals and gets rid of it. Yeah. It's excellent for all of that. And also if people are acidic, it alkalizes the body.
Awesome. I'm taking notes seriously. I don't do this often, but this is really well, I want to start looking into this and then having something to implement with people and teach people. It's always beautiful to have these kind of options and to know, especially something that people can afford to get their hands on, because even ivermectin is not like the easiest thing in the world to get if you don't know somebody. You know, I mean, I can get it very simply, but not everybody can.
Yeah.
And there's always questions with medications, and this would seem to be more natural and a better option. And so very
exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. Yes. I would always rather much take the natural approach that God's created. And ivermectin, I believe, is like the best medicine that has ever existed. But whenever I can like choose, I would always do the natural, even though I'm a functional person, I believe in functional medicine.
So when you found your functional doctor then in Australia, correct, is where mm-hmm. you found that. So with the parasites, now you do believe that the cancer was caused from the binge eating and all of the junk food, correct?
100%. Okay. Yeah, because also, you know, the cancer, the tumor was in my lymphatic system, which is the body's sewage system. So right. I put too much toxins into my body that my lymphatic system was like, I cannot take out the toxins. It was too much. I was just overloading, stressing out my system so much that it backfired. And that's how a lot of people get leukemia, lymphoma, and breast cancers also, because the lymphatic system goes through the neck and under the arms and through the breast. So it's very connected. Toxin buildup is one of the major causes for cancer.
Wow. Okay. So then with the parasites, do you believe that was also a contributing factor from the diet as well?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, because my diet was, I didn't have a good diet hygiene and I was eating, you know, fast foods. That meat is terrible, right? And I was creating a breeding ground in my gut. My microbiome was not great at all.
Okay. It all makes sense. That is... I don't want you to have to like divulge too much into this, but was this like a 7 day a week thing with the binge eating? I mean, was it like to that extent? Okay.
Yeah. I was really in it. And I talk about it, you know, my blog and my books and everything. So I'm very open about it because for 5 years, no one knew I was binge eating. I kept it a secret. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. I thought something was really wrong with me. No one knew. No one in my family knew. None of my friends knew. They all thought I was like healthy, but I was like eating behind closed doors, like binge eating. And as soon as I, had the tumor and I created the Earth diet, I started the blog, and this is why it went viral. Because I said, like, I have been binge eating for 5 years and this is what I've been doing and this is how I've been eating. And then I had all these, you know, mostly women write into me saying, wow, I do the same thing and nobody knows. Like a lot of people struggle with binge eating.
What ultimately helped you to stop? And how did you find the tumor? Did you just start to have a growth, or was it through blood work, or what? How did that come about as well?
So the tumor, it exploded one day. So some cancers grow slowly and some tumors like pop like under so much stress. Yeah, so I didn't realize that. I Googled that after and there was like, yeah, Delta Goodrum had one like that too. Delta Goodrum was a famous Australian singer. She was doing sit-ups one day and then one of them popped, I think maybe on her chest or something. But yeah, when the body's under so much stress, I was so acidic and stressed and tired. I was out at a concert. I had a drink of vodka and right away it just popped and I was like, oh, I thought it was a swollen gland. And I just like left it for 2 weeks and it was just getting bigger and bigger. And then I went to the naturopath and she sent me to the hospital.
Wow. Okay. So is that what got you to stop binge eating then? Was just that you had the tumor, or was there something else that helped you stop? Because I know that's not easy if you've been doing that for that long.
Oh, it was the earth diet. Yeah. Because I was sitting in hospital after the biopsy and I was like, all I want to do is go and eat McDonald's. Like, right. And I'm like, this is so crazy. I want to go and eat the thing that's literally killing me. And that's when I for the first time in my life got down on my knees at 21 and I prayed to God. I'm like, God, I really need to, like, I need your help. I need something bigger than myself. And then a few days later, God answered a prayer and it gave me the idea to do the Earth Diet. And the idea was start the Earth Diet as a blog and eat only foods from the earth that God creates for 365 days and blog every day. And every time you have a craving for something, make a recipe using wholesome natural ingredients that come from nature instead of buying the junk food version. And this is how I broke the addiction. So, because back then, you know, 15 years ago in Australia, we couldn't buy, like, now you can go out to the store and we can buy healthy cookie dough and ice cream and bread and pasta. We right. didn't have like gluten-free bread in Australia. I mean, people were starting that just then, but it was like a brick. It was gross. So I just got in the kitchen and I was like, okay, I'm craving chocolate peanut butter cups. So I'd make chocolate peanut butter cups, chocolate peanut butter bowls. I'd make chicken nuggets. I'd make cashew cheesecake. I would make like burgers, fries, everything I was craving. And it's called replacement therapy now. Psychologists have termed it. It's replacement therapy. So replacement therapy is so effective for human beings. Like, we need a replacement. There's a stat, something like 99% of the time, it will never work if humans don't have replacement therapy. And replacement therapy can be, you know, some people can go cold turkey, like never smoke a cigarette, but some people need like a new hobby or, you know, read more scripture to get food from scripture instead of actual physical food. Or we need to be doing something new to not do the old thing.
So then let's go back on a timeline here. So you came up with this diet then in your early 20s, you developed this, right?
21, yeah.
So did you develop this all on your own?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And you didn't have a nutrition background at that time either, did you?
None. I mean, I grew up with the indigenous people, the Aboriginal people. So that, you know, I had a nutrition education from them, right? Because that upbringing was very natural. And I learned about like the most nutrient rich food comes straight from the garden. Like the most ideal way for us to eat, if we can go to the garden and pick it and eat it, that's the most life giving because the spirit is alive in the food and it's most nutrient rich. So I did know that, but I didn't know, I didn't have like my, now I'm a certified nutritionist. You know, I went on to get more educated and all of that, but I had that upbringing from a child. And the indigenous people, they know how to eat and thrive and heal and survive, right? So, they did that for so long. They had no cancer, by the way. Indigenous right. people all around the world, no trace of cancer or like, you know, minimal, but like minimal to no cancer.
Let's just, okay, so just some basic few examples here then when you talk about foods that are from the earth, just so people understand, because some people may not, it sounds easy to you and I, but what are some examples of foods that are just like from the earth? So was that including like, how do we factor that in? Are we talking plants? Are we talking any kinds of meats like from animals or like what, just some examples.
Yeah, because some people think the earth diet's for vegans or they think I'm vegan, I'm not. So the earth diet is the indigenous diet. Like, what did the ancestors eat? Like, our paleo ancestors. And, you know, it's different for each paleo ancestors, actually, because if you look at different regions, like the Aboriginal people in the middle of Australia, they ate a lot of vegetables, nuts, seeds, herbs, spices, fruits. We call them bush fruits. You know, we had bush pear, bush banana. Bush bananas are like this big and like brown, not yellow at all.
Wow.
Bush plums, bush blueberries. Oh, the bush blueberries are delicious. Oh my gosh. But they didn't have seafood, right? So they ate the kangaroos. But then the indigenous people on the outside of Australia, they ate the seafood. So they ate a lot of fish and seafood and also lots of vegetation. And all the tribes around the world, they all ate from the area that they were in. And it consisted of a lot of vegetation,
mm-hmm.
but also animals as well, like a balance of animals. So that's the diet that I really believe is the healthiest diet. And, you know, some people need more protein than others, like blood type O's, for example. Blood type O's originate from cold areas with a lot of snow. They didn't have a lot of vegetation because it was always snowing. They had a lot of animals. So they mostly had to eat animals, and their blood chemistry, blood type O's, can really thrive and break down the animal fats and proteins. And, you know, some people come and they're like, I just want to be vegan. And I respect that too. People want to be vegan. But the healthiest, in the last 15 years of me working with people, the healthiest that I've seen people be is when they eat the earth diet in terms of the indigenous diet of lots of vegetation, but also some animal protein and fats as well.
I am like the biggest proponent of animal protein as well. And I'm like the biggest animal lover on the planet. And it's hard for me, but I'm talking like pure science and what I've observed over all of the years. So let me ask you this. I do this with all my guests that come on that are like into nutrition and everything. I always want to talk carbohydrates with them because I'm just curious. So what's your stance on carbohydrate intake? Are you like a keto proponent? Just so you know, for me, I'm not like, oh, I hate carbs or the end of the world, but I do like them lower end. I don't like 25 to 50 only a day, but I'm more in that like 100 range, maybe, where you're getting some. And I prefer personally from like vegetables and maybe oats or something like that. But I don't get into a lot of, even though I'm Italian, I don't push like the pastas and the breads and everything like that. So what's your feeling or your stance? And I know everybody's different. Like when I train, you know, pro bodybuilders, they have to have more carbs. They have to. But let's just focus on everyday general people. And maybe some people that do train, but not like a bodybuilder. What's your feeling and stance on carbohydrates?
Yeah, I think that carbohydrates are, it's bio-individual. And mm-hmm. I think that carbohydrates are one of the biggest pleasures in life.
Yeah.
And, for sure. And it's different for each person. You know, you're a blood type O, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell because of your like physique and your, you know, blood type O's are usually more firm and like ironed, like iron, mm-hmm. like can lift weights. I'm a blood type A. We're a little bit more like flowy and like, you know, like kind of squishy-ish. But we, our blood chemistry thrives more on carbohydrates. So
for me, it's
about the quality of carbohydrates, not the quantity. So what kind of carbohydrates am I getting? Like good quality from vegetables, from potatoes, from sweet potatoes. You know, I do love some really good bread and really good pasta sometimes as well. It has to be organic, no glyphosate. I also love some really good unprocessed gluten-free pasta and unprocessed gluten-free breads as well. So for me, when I'm working with someone, I like to check their blood chemistry to see. And like for you, I would say, yeah, you would eat less carbohydrates than a blood type A. But yeah, if you're also working out a lot, you know, you do need a bit more as well. And then, if someone is healing too, it's different because if someone is on a healing diet plan, it's going to look different than someone who's on a maintenance plan.
Right.
So for healing, you know, when I was healing, I had a ton of carbohydrates because it was like fueling me. I was eating so much fruit. You know, some days I had 16 nectarines in one day, which sounds excessive, and it is, but that was better than me eating a whole packet of Tim Tams and a block of Cadbury chocolate. That was an upgrade, right? So replacement therapy. So that's a lot of carbs from fruit, but it helped me to heal my body. And I've seen that work for, you know, a lot of people. But on the maintenance diet, like, I'm not going to eat 16 nectarines a day now.
No,
you know,
no.
Like, I'm good with one.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying. So I've struggled with, like, and I've talked about this, so I'm not embarrassed. I've had the eating disorder and problems my whole life. And so, you know, I am a nutritionist and a diet coach. I coach bodybuilders. I coach athletes. So I put them on all of these diets and I know they're good and they work, but can't force myself to do it. And then just recently, finally in October, I went into the kitchen one day, told my wife, I was like, I'm done. I'm just done. I'm getting too old. I'm done. I'm done with all of this worrying about, oh my gosh, I look this way or someone's going to, I just don't care. I'm just going to be happy. And then I went from, and mind you, I'm burning just on working out alone. So, you know, sedentary, you're already burning probably a good 2 to 2,200 calories a day for most people. And then I'm burning over 3,000 working out. So you imagine what I'm going through, and I'm eating like 1,600, 1,700 calories a day. And it's all vegetables, oats, and egg whites. And that's it, like, every day. I went from 15 grams of fat, which was only from peanut butter or nut butter, to now like 100. And I eat about 1,000 more calories a day than I was eating. Like, before I came on here, I just ate like a half a pound of elk and whatever. And I've never felt this good. And since I was in my 20s, you know, like, eating normal. The animal fats, and I've been coaching people and seeing it, but like, it opens up your skin and your ability to be so cognitively functional. You know what I mean? And sharp.
Yeah. And
I'm a big, big protein guy. A lot of the people that I talk to, you know, are big protein people. So I, you know, find that most of my diets will be centered like 40-45% protein, 30-35% fat, and 10-15% carbs. That's what I prefer. So just curious as kind of how you structure your own and for others that you kind of coach. And it's, listen, to everybody, it's all individualized. We get that. But just, you know, you have a preference. I do. I'm curious what yours is.
Yeah. And they just turned the lights off in here. I just noticed. Wait, let me just turn it on.
No, you're good.
Oh, there we go. I guess it thinks no one's in here. Yeah. So, well, for me, you know, and again, it's bio-individual. So every one of my clients is really different. And that's how I like to approach the diet, very bio-individual. For me, it would be, it's about, I want to say it's like 30, 30, 30. Like,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like 33, 33, 33 type of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that works really, really well for me.
Okay. So we discussed the diet. We discussed your journey. We've done a lot. So now that brings us to now. We got a lot of issues to discuss about now that I want to get into with you, because you and I could not be more on the same mindset wavelength. I envy you in the regard of that you have the ability now with what you're doing. You have and we're going to talk about this, but being involved in Maha and being right there, this is like my desire, where I'm trying to get right where you are and take my voice to the same way, because we have an opportunity right now that we have not had. You know, I've been censored for different types of things, not political stuff, but different types of things for so long before people knew what censoring was. And it's just carried on into now, because it's now I'm talking about this. So you brought up glyphosate, and we're gonna go there, and we're gonna talk about just foods in general and the stuff that's going on. But I know, and I want to focus on first how you got to where you're at right now with, like, the Maha movement, what it means to you, what your involvement is. Just, like, let's lay that out there first before we divulge into some issues.
Yeah. So I started, 16 years ago now, with my blog, The Earth Diet, and it went viral. I ended up with multiple book deals, was able to come to America and, you know, live here and help people in America. Because this is, even growing up as a kid, I always was like, I knew America, the entire world is watching America. America are the leaders. Like, people just love America, obsessed. And I was like, Then as I grew up, I'm like, wow, everyone is so sick there. So I just knew that this message would be like better received in America. And the Australian press were terrible to me also. So when I got here, I just started speaking at all these events, you know, like crunchy granola events, like hippie health events. And I was just on the circuit. So I was just meeting all these people, a lot of these people who are in Maha today. And then 2019, The Truth About Cancer from Ty and Charlene Bollinger, they had, well, they had it for years and years, but this was the year that I met RFK. RFK was talking about vaccines. That was the first time that I learned about vaccines because I, you know, I'm in the world, in the food world and the cancer world. So it was fascinating. I was like, I was always wondering about vaccines and I always thought, you know, they're not natural, but I had an open mind. So I learned from him then. I met Del Bigtree there and like, you know, all the Maha people that we see today, like a lot of them kind of came from there. Actually, The Truth About Cancer is said to be basically like the OGs of like the movement in terms of pulling all these people together in one spot. And it was a very controversial event that went viral around the world. And so then when Trump nominated RFK, all of a sudden he got my attention and everyone else's attention who's not political, but like, you know, or in the political closet. So all of a sudden we were like, hang on a minute, wait, what's happening? Okay. Because we all love RFK and respect him because he knows all about the conspiracies that are not conspiracies. And he knows all about the corruption. And he wants to actually make a difference in this country. So we were like, whoa, okay, if this actually happens, we might actually be able to be uncensored and start actually helping people heal. So then, you know, all these events started happening and things like that. And so we were just, everyone's just kind of drawn to all these Maha events and people. And I mean, God's opening up doors as well. And yeah, so just, you know, have met now like, and just met so many people in this Maha movement. It's just so expansive.
It is.
And so we have a Maha Action. So Maha Action is, it's set up now. The CEO is Del Bigtree and amazing, wonderful people working in there. So one of the boards is a Healthy Foods Coalition board. So I'm on that. And then they also have a cancer board. And then HHS are about to have committees. And so all of those are still getting formed at the moment. So yeah, it's really exciting. And then also another really cool thing is so Marla Maples, Dr. Ed Group, and Saya G created the Global Wellness Forum. So instead of the Global Economics Forum, the Global Wellness Forum, which this is going to be big. This is going to change the world. I'm so excited about this Global Wellness Forum. They also have a cancer committee, you know, and all the committees for air pollution. And vaccines, like every issue, there is a committee for global wellness and also for the Maha Action. And yeah, it's really cool. And then, you know, there's a lot of great people working in the government with the Trump administration, with HHS and FDA and NIH that are all really trustworthy people that really want to make a difference. For me, it's better for me to be on advisory boards and committees because if I was to be in the administration full time, I wouldn't be able to post and have my platform.
Right.
So this is a way that I can still be advising and consulting, but still have my platform to be able to promote, which is important because, you know, one of the big issues right now, I'm posting about asking everyone to call their senators, you know, so I'm able to reach people online via social media and my email list of, okay, it's time for some Maha Action. Who's on board? Let's go.
Yes. Okay. We're going to get into that. I got a couple questions. I'm going to save that because we're going to spend a significant time on that. We're going to probably spend a good amount of time on that. I want to ask you now that I took these couple notes, what is the Global Wellness Forum all about? Like what is this set up already? And is this something we can look at online? Are there videos? Like what is this? Let's get this out there.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So it was just founded right after the inauguration.
Okay.
Well, they were working on it for a long time, but it's public after the inauguration. So
yeah.
They have a website, and so I don't know what it is right now. I think if you just Google Global Wellness Forum, Marla Maples, you know what? If you go to Marla Maples' Instagram or Saya G or Dr. Ed Group, they'll have posts about it. And you can have a look on the website and stuff like that. But yeah, basically it's a wellness forum that eventually they want to have, you know, everyone meet regularly. They have different boards for different issues. So they have different committees. So for example, for me on the cancer committee, we'll do all things cancer, cancer prevention, curing cancer, cancer awareness, cancer education. For the air pollution people who are really involved with air pollution, you know, the chemtrails and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They are, you know, Marla Maples was just in courtrooms in Florida last week. And so they're like fighting for that, you know, so there's people on all these different task force.
Excellent. Okay. So you said you're on a MAHA action committee. Was that right? Is that right? So what is that?
Yeah. So it's the MAHA action task force for Healthy Foods Coalition. Healthy Foods
okay.
Coalition. So right. So far, this is week three. So far, we have discussed the diabetes epidemic and diabetes program and how to tackle that, which is going to be keto. You'd be happy to hear about that.
Yes.
So that's going to be awesome. And then the kids' school lunch program. And then also eventually we're going to be discussing the food pyramid and how we can change that.
Wow.
Yeah. And then a topic today we met was for the bird flu.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Where we're at with that. Yeah. And then how, you know, the bird flu thing is interesting because they wanted to, you know, there's a lot of not good people, right, still involved in the government. And RFK and Trump, are, you know, they're doing their best to like weed them all out and get rid of them and fire them. But there are powers that be that are just always going to exist within the
sure.
government, I think, unfortunately. So, you know, they wanted to roll out this whole vaccine, bird flu vaccine thing. Can you imagine all of a sudden the nation's like, everyone needs to get vaccinated on this bird flu? Like, sorry, no.
Mm-mm. No. I think we learned our lesson from the last incident.
You think so, but there's a lot of people still in America who, no, they will still get vaccinated. I heard this one woman, her uncle and her brother both died after the COVID vaccine, and she still won't believe it's the vaccine. Like, some people are so thickly brainwashed, it's so sad. So, you know, these people working on the inside have stopped this bird flu vaccine mandate, and it's amazing. I'm like, that's an amazing task force of people that are behind the scenes, you know, doing really good things.
I'm going to bring up something here for everybody listening, and I'm going to make a point based upon what you just said. So you're talking about all of these wonderful things that you're working on, these committees, and you're telling me what they're focused on. We're focused on cancer in one. We're focused on school lunches in another, and we're doing this and we're doing that. Every single thing that one would think would be at the top of the priority list for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my point here is this: not every single thing that happens that goes on has to be political. Okay. So just because your party or whoever you follow isn't the one behind all of this doing good doesn't mean it's not good. Right. So, I mean, you get people that will make comments and say things and think that there's some kind of motive behind every single thing just because it's not embedded in their head. Oh, this is who I follow, so this is how it's got to be. You just are laying down list by list by list of beautiful things that you're doing. And I just want people to hear that, see you in person, and hear what I'm saying here. This is not political. This is life. This is life changing. We're trying to make a point here. Republican, Democrat means absolutely zero, because if you go back in time, the belief systems on each side has gone like this all over the place. it reminds me of an NBA team that's got a different team every year because free agents are flying over. It's not the same team. You know what I mean? So the team here should be all of us working together on this and working on these things. You're not going to agree on everything. That's fine. But the point here is fix our health, like fix our life, and stop letting other people tell you how to run your life or control you and run you into the ground, because that's what they do. There are so many people that do not care, and we finally have people that care. So see that, okay? There's not a motive that's money driven behind everybody. There's not.
There's not. No, there's not. Yeah, and you're right. This is not a political issue.
No.
And some, who said it? RFK. RFK said at his hearing, which was amazing, by the way. I was at the hearing in the room. Oh my gosh. It was like, wow. He said, children are not Republican and Democratic. They are children.
Right.
This is not a political issue. Yeah.
I wanted to drive that home. I don't like to turn everything into that really at all, but it has to be said because this is we're trying to help right now. The whole point in like what I do, because I have been lost for years. This is what God was telling me to do the whole time. And I just finally figured it out because I really wasn't ready to deliver the message properly before like I am now. So I get to meet people like you.
Amen.
I get to help put you in front of people that you haven't been in front of before. And then I get to learn from you and hopefully provide to others you have. And that's how we spread the word. So.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes. Yes. We've been called for this time. It's perfect timing. And also, who could be against this health stuff? You know, I was speaking to a friend today who's Jewish and she hates Trump. And she's like, I'm so confused because I hate Trump, but I love what you're doing. I love that you're making an impact and that you're going to help people with cancer in this country. And I also love that he's getting the hostages home. She's like, I'm really confused. And I'm like, yeah.
But sometimes people don't even know why they hate what. They just, because they think they have to. So like, for instance, I wouldn't eat certain foods forever because I thought I didn't like them. And I never even tried them. I just assumed I didn't like them.
Yeah, so we can be so closed-minded as human beings, right? It's like,
you know, some of the people that I ended up liking the most in my life are the ones that I initially thought that I couldn't stand.
Yeah.
I swear to you, so many times in my life, I'd be like, oh, I don't like this. You know, I'm not going to say what I'd say after that. And then I'd end up finding out, man, I love this guy. Or, you know, like, she's awesome, whatever, you know. And
it happens a lot.
It happens all the time because that's it. It teaches you a lesson to not prejudge.
Yes. So true.
Okay, let's talk about the glyphosate issue. And you know, I really started to focus on this a lot probably the past 6 months, where it seems like it's been more prevalently discussed. It's been discussed, but it's really kind of like where you brought up gut health. People kind of knew about it in the past, but right now it's like everybody finally figured it out, right? So the glyphosate issue, I swear to you, the past like probably 6 months, I've spent so much time researching, understanding, and learning and trying to figure out what the hell is actually going on, like the real, not just the basic stuff, like the real stuff. So I want to dig into that with you because this is really bad. And I think it's worse than people could ever dream of understanding. And I think you know more than a lot of people do. So first, let's just do this. What is glyphosate? Why is it used? And why is it so dangerous?
My gosh, yeah. So glyphosate is a compound found in the herbicide Roundup, and that was created by Monsanto. Monsanto are one of the most evil, corrupt countries on earth. Now they're owned by Bayer, so Bayer have purchased them. So glyphosate, this compound, what happened was back in the 60s, they started to go around to the farmers in America and they would say, if you use our Roundup and use our genetically modified seed to go with it, you're not going to need barely any water at all because the seed doesn't require a lot of water. You just need to feed it with the Roundup. And because when the Roundup and the seed are acting together, it kills all pests, all bugs. You're just never going to have to deal with pests and bugs.
Okay.
So the farmers were like, oh, okay. And then also they sold them that you're going to make a lot more food and you're going to make more money. So the farmers were like, oh, wow, this is like a win, win, win.
Mm-hmm.
But you would think, they would think, okay, this is chemical, it's going to destroy the soil, we should, probably shouldn't be eating that. But like most of them didn't think that, right? So they switched over to their farms. Then, you know, fast track now, I mean, we are in a toxic cocktail of cancer and all these issues, infertility, all this stuff. So we've known this for a long time, right? Me 16 years telling people do not eat GMOs, do not eat foods that are sprayed with herbicide. Some people have been saying this for like 40 years, right? 45 years. But we've been called quacks. And then in 2018, it was one of the best years ever for the history of the world, was when the Monsanto lost its very first lawsuit. So finally a cancer patient was able to sue Monsanto and they lost. And at that time, Monsanto had to release the paperwork saying, oh, yes, we know our product causes cancer. Glyphosate is a carcinogen. It's proven. But they never had to reveal it to the public. They were able to hide it until 2018. Is the, you know, the question is this murder? That is the question. More about that later. So they lost the case. Then this opened up for all these other people with cancer to go and sue Monsanto. So now we're in 2025, right? Monsanto have had 200,000 suits against them, and they've had to pay out billions of dollars. And they're a $62 billion company that we know of publicly. I think it's a lot more, honestly. And so what's happening now, you will not believe this, they are trying to pass a sneaky bill. It's going around right now. And the senators are having to decide whether or not to give them immunity. They are asking for immunity so that no one else can sue them for cancer, so they don't have to pay out these billions of dollars. If they get away with that, we are saying as a country that yes, you can get away with murder. They know their product causes cancer. Everyone knows it. It's not conspiracy theory. It's public knowledge. It's not like we're still debating, does it cause cancer? Does it not? No, it causes cancer. So that's, we already know that for sure. And if you think, if you do the math, like if they have 200,000 lawsuits against them, how many people with cancer have already died who will never get the chance to give them a lawsuit?
Right.
How many millions and millions and millions of people have cancer because of them? It's more than we could imagine. And glyphosate is one of the top reasons why there is so much cancer in this country. It wreaks havoc on the gut, the nervous system, the brain. It's terrible. And now, so people are probably wondering, okay, where is it? Okay, so you eat glyphosate every time you go to a restaurant, every time you eat conventional, regular fruits and vegetables and grains. Every time. Every single time. It has glyphosate, which is insane. And there's no education and awareness on this.
Mm-mm.
And what's tragic is that people are thinking they're eating healthy by eating fruits and vegetables when in fact they're eating cancer causing. I mean, this is like the enemy's worst work, because they're taking something that God created, fruits and vegetables and grains, that was used for our good, and has really turned it into something that is destroying people and killing people. It's heartbreaking. And currently in America, 1,680 people die every single day.
So let me ask you this, because I've got a ton of questions. One, when you buy this food, and let's say you are aware of this, is it something like if you wash and clean the food, it's still in the food, right? You're not getting it off, correct?
Good question. People ask that. Yeah, you cannot get it off. It's in the flesh.
That's what I thought.
It's in the seed, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So essentially, well, in short, we know it causes cancer, and they've had 200,000 lawsuits. And like you pointed out, how many people, and I'll say, how many people have gotten cancer, don't know it's from that, would never know? How many people don't have the either acumen or the money or the know-how to go file a lawsuit? And what you're saying is they're somehow asking for immunity. Why? And this is actually being considered by who? By people they pay?
Right. Because this is government subsidized, right? So some senators, you know, we had bad news like 2 days ago. Which state was it? Oh, I need to look up the state. One of the states approved to give them immunity.
How? Yeah.
Right now it's like Georgia. We're focusing on Georgia. I know how. It makes no sense other than these people are making money. You know, at the RFK hearing, we saw all of these senators who were so against him. And then we looked up how much they were getting paid by the pharmaceutical industries. You know, Bernie Sanders, almost $2 million a year. They're all getting paid from $200,000 to $2 million a year from pharmaceuticals. So how much money is Bayer paying these people to say, yeah, you'll get immunity so that they can continue killing people and no one can sue them? Like, come on. But this company is big, big, big. And they have all the money in the world to pay these senators. It's really tragic. So, yeah, but we do have some power here. We have, if we all come together, right now is the time we need everyone to call their senators.
Yeah, we have. Okay, so I know that everything I do is biohacking and health and wellness, but I'm a business and finance major, and that's my background. So let's do some basic. Let's just look at something basically fundamental here, you and I and everybody listening. If I make $200,000 a year, which is probably what do they make? $100,000 to $200,000 a year. A lot of senators, that's their salary, correct? Something in that range. If you or I made on paper, went to the IRS $200,000 or $300,000 a year, and our net worth was like 50, 60, 70 million, don't you think we'd get looked at? Don't you think something would probably throw up a red flag? I mean, if I had like a $10 million valuation on a $200,000 a year salary, I guarantee you they're going to be looking at everything I'm doing. So let's take a 10 multiplier on that and then look at what they're approving and how messed up it sounds and answer our own questions as to why. I'm asking rhetorical questions to you so people understand. You and I already know what's going on here. So if you're telling me that Monsanto has paid out $5, $6 billion in lawsuits, then they have to be making like a 100 multiplier off of that in terms of that being potato chips for them to pay out. Now, they're probably getting sick of paying it, which is why they're doing this. But fundamental math would tell you they're probably making over $100 billion to pay out that kind of money, at least. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a big problem there. And they've probably convinced people and gotten into the heads that, oh, this isn't harmful or whatever in the past. And now we're opening more eyeballs to seeing what is actually going on here. Here's a question for you. Is this in like every single thing that's grown? I mean, is it like, because I've looked at the lists and some of my favorite things, and granted, we buy everything organic and I know to do that. And thank God I have the means. Not everybody does to do that, but your strawberries, your blueberries, these are like at the top of the list. Some of the healthiest like fruits that you can buy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really sad.
So yeah. Like even I see like organic oats have glyphosate on them sometimes, unless they say glyphosate free. Like, how is that even happening?
Yeah. So what's happened now, it's in our water system.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So glyphosate girl, legend, she talks about this and she explains how it's everywhere now, even in some organic food. So like the best we can do is eat organic, but even then, we still may be consuming glyphosate. I mean, they have destroyed the soil. They have destroyed the water. It's really, really sad. It goes into our water systems and it gets recycled. So that's another subject, is like how we protect ourselves from glyphosate.
Yeah.
I have, you know, all these protocols and things that help us, because we live in a toxic environment. So we need to do things every day to help absorb those things and get them out of our body and make sure we're keeping a really healthy body that's inhospitable to cancer.
I'm going to ask you about that. First, I just want to ask you a quick question that I've heard like some farmers say. When it comes to food, like I am 2-3 in the morning guy reading every night. So one of the things I see with oats in general, because like oats has become this big controversial thing amongst like a lot of the people I respect, where one group is like, oh, these are so great for you. And the other group is like, oh, they're dog crap for you, you know? So I've done a ton of research there because I've eaten them for years and I put clients on them. So I have read some farmers say, oh, that the do organic, well, it blows, the glyphosate blows into their field and gets onto the oats or whatever they're growing. Is that factual or is that just BS?
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. If the farm is next to a GMO herbicide pesticide farm, yeah, it's bad. It's all blowing in. Yeah.
So two part question. How would one test their body for like glyphosate, like knowing what they have, what kind of tests would you do? And two, if there is a test or not, I don't know. And two, how do we try to get that out of our system, detoxify, or what's the best way to get rid of that?
Yeah. Yeah. So, to test, that's a good question actually. So, Glyphosate Girl on Instagram, she knows how to test. I'm going to ask her. We'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay.
Yeah, because she said that she took her daughter's tooth, got it tested, and it had glyphosate, her tooth. And so that, you know, because glyphosate can be in the system and in the womb, right? Yeah. And now they're finding microplastics in 100% of men's testicles have microplastics in the sperm, 100% of men. So, you know, I also think that's probably microplastics and these glyphosate heavy metals. It all accumulates.
Yeah, yeah.
In the womb and stuff. So the babies are being born. So she knows how to test and all of that. But yeah, it's a mess. So rather than be like disempowered, you know, we have to fight back against evil. And God has equipped us with everything we need to get this time. Mm-hmm. So to help, so every single day, the number one is liquid chlorophyll. Liquid chlorophyll is a compound found in dark leafy greens. Yes, we can eat it, you know, spinach, kale, and collard greens, and all of this to the dark leafy greens. But I'm a big believer in liquid chlorophyll because it penetrates at a cellular level.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do it first thing in the morning before anything else, it protects the cells. Alkalizes the cells. Also, it's measured at 528 hertz, which is the frequency that heals and repairs DNA.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing. And chlorophyll under a microscope, it looks like perfect blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
And we are what we eat. We are an imprint of what we eat or drink. So when we drink liquid chlorophyll, our blood mimics the perfect healthy cells of chlorophyll, and chlorophyll is made up of magnesium, so it's just amazing. I mean, so it relaxes us, it pumps oxygen straight to the brain, it gives us instant energy, but it helps to detox our cells. It protects our cells. It's a natural daily detox to get rid of the heavy metals, to get rid of the glyphosate, and keep the body really alkaline and healthy and strong. So that's the first one. And, you know, it's easy to take. You can just get some liquid chlorophyll, drop it in water. Another one that's like $20 on Amazon. I'm developing my own. It's not out yet, but I'm very excited about that because I promote chlorophyll like
excellent
all the time. But also it's biblical too. And in Ezekiel, it says the fruit will be used for food. And the leaves will be used for healing. Okay, like this blows my mind. When I read that, I was like, the leaves will be used for healing? Like what? And then Revelations 22:2 says the leaves will heal the nations. And I was like, okay, what's in every single leaf around the world? Chlorophyll. It's God's. Yep. God's little hint to us, like, here you go. This is going to heal your body and get rid of all the crazy stuff. So there's chlorophyll. And then we talked about the bentonite clay that also absorbs, takes out all the impurities. So the clay, because it has the strong magnetic properties, is like, no, like going through the body, looking for all the impurities and just like taking them out.
Excellent.
Goodbye, glyphosate.
Amazing that every single answer we could ever want or need is right there in the Bible. If people would actually try to understand the verbiage and not take everything that's metaphor, you know, and take it out of context. If you really read it and understand it, everything's sitting right there. It really is.
It's a guidebook to life, right? Like some people are like, I wish there was a guidebook to life. I'm like, there is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of people have religious trauma too. So when they hear the word Jesus or God or open the Bible, they kind of cringe. There's like this block because they've been traumatized because they've been like forced you know, forced to learn about God in a way that's not accurate. And the thing is, God and Jesus would never force themselves on anyone. Mm-mm. And so that's what I try and just tell people is like, forget all that religion stuff and just come to God, right? And ask God to show you, and he will show up in your life, and it's between you and him, not like forced on you from anyone else. And yeah.
That's what took me so long to do what I'm doing right now, because I wasn't ready, because I wasn't God first. I was Dylan first. Even though I didn't think I was, I realized I was. I'm like, oh, I do everything for my family. I do all this. But then I just, something was always missing. And once I figured that out, and you know what I did? I'm Catholic, raised Catholic, and you do your own. That's not the point here. I'm just going to tell you how I really sat and learned is I got a study Bible where I was able to take everything I read, and everything's broken down at the bottom. So what I would do is I would read a chapter and I would go down, and then the explanation's longer than the chapter, you know, and I read the whole New Testament in like 6 months, and I sat here every morning for at least an hour to an hour and a half and just read and read and read. And that's what equipped me to be ready to then start doing what I do now. Otherwise I would have never been able to do this. I just wouldn't have. You know what I mean? I could have all the knowledge in the world on all of this stuff and wouldn't be ready to handle or do any of this. Now it's like second nature, because I know what to do because of that, not because of anything I'm sharing with you about diet or health or whatever. You're given that ability, right? But you got to learn how to use it and utilize it. And if you, at least in my view, if you don't put God first, you're not going to ever really become what you're supposed to become or be your best.
It's so true. Yeah. God has to come first every day. Like, okay, Lord, how can I serve you today? Who can I help? It's all about helping others. When I heard that, like, you know, someone told me, like, Liana, your life is not for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's for others. It's for helping people. I was like, whoa. And a light bulb went off. And the next day I just went out and I was like, okay, who can I help? How can I help? And just it healed so many of my issues, took away so much of my stress.
Yeah. You know how much I sit here constantly. How am I going to make money today? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? But when I stopped worrying about it so much, it's obviously it's a concern for everybody. It's life. But when you stop letting that dominate your day and you go do things like this, he just gives you everything you need. You don't even really, I find myself sometimes still worrying about it. And then I'll catch myself and go, man, I'm sorry. Like, I shouldn't even stress about this, because I know you're just going to handle it. You always have.
Yes. You know? Yes. Well, and God says in the Bible says, do not have any anxiety at all. Come to me and give me all your cares and anxieties and I'll take it.
Yeah.
He does not want us to be stressed at all.
No, it's a sin to actually be stressed, because you're kind of doubting him and what he's doing and what he said. And you know what I mean? That, when I started looking at it like that, I stopped having so much stress. So I was like, man, you're messing up constantly, you know?
Yeah. And it's just a disconnect from God too.
Yeah, when we're stressed, it is.
Right? It's like, oh, okay, I need to get connected with you. And, you know, and also when we're just praising God and like thanking him, we're constantly in gratitude. It's just way different from stressing out.
I'm telling you, I just randomly throughout the day, like in the car, I used to either have to be on the phone or have to like have music blasting. And now oftentimes I still like my music, but I'll just start having conversations first with God real quick, or just thank him and just say hello. And then just kind of, and then I feel like, okay, I feel better now. Like when I'm stressed or just because I'm happy, whatever, it doesn't matter. But it's on your mind. It's not like you think it's an obligation. It's like a want, right?
Yeah. Because he's there and like fills us up whenever we come to him. It's, oh my gosh, such a good father.
Yeah. It's trust me. And that's one of the things I'm blessed with my, like my wife, my mom, like the people around me, the people that get brought into my life, they seem to all be, you know, very on that same kind of wavelength now. And I didn't notice it before, or maybe I just wasn't around those kind of people before. I don't know, you know, but I see it more and more now. And like, for instance, like me and my wife every morning, we'll say a prayer together in the morning now, just before we get up. You know, sometimes I'm asleep or she's asleep, but we still say it for each other. You know,
I love that. That's beautiful.
It is. And it's like just a quick thing, and bless each other, and the day starts wonderful, even when you don't feel good, you know?
Yes, I love that. That's awesome. Yeah.
It just
straight up blessing. Prayer and then chlorophyll.
You know what? I talked to you prior and you were giving me like your protocols and things that you did. Like, is that what protocol is that you had mentioned to me before was the chlorophyll and the bentonite clay? Because I had written it down and I can't find my notes right now. But was that kind of your rundown? Because you had a specific protocol that you had mentioned. I don't know if it was for cancer, you know, prevention or...
Yeah, I have protocols for so many different things, but my cancer prevention one is the one I speak about most, because if we take these three things every day for the rest of our life, it's almost impossible for cancer to grow in our body.
Let's hear it.
So, so the first one is chlorophyll, which we've already covered.
Mm-hmm.
And and this is like every day for the rest of our life, because some people like get healthy for like a year and then they stop. And it's like, why would you stop? You know, we're in a toxic environment. We have to keep this up every day. The second one is B17 apricot seeds.
Yeah, I remember now. Okay.
So the Hunza tribe and, you know, other tribes around the world where they've found that they consume apricot seeds, which is high in B17. It's something that's missing from our diet because we're told not to eat the seeds. It also has amygdala and laetrile. And these seeds, when they find a cancer cell in the body, they explode into a cyanide and they kill the cancer cell, but they spare the healthy cell. It's like the perfect chemo. And then, all the tribes like who consume this, they have no trace of cancer. And it's interesting because if you Google that, it'll tell you, you know, it's dangerous, don't do it, it has cyanide, it will kill you. Like, no one's ever died from cyanide poisoning, for one. And second, it is the biggest cover-up on a natural food in the world is
really
apricot seeds. Yeah, because 50 years ago, it was known as the cancer cure. Medical doctors were giving B17 IVs to people.
Wow.
And then the establishments came and shut it down. And, you know, they can't make $100,000 off giving people B17 in hospitals, right? They need to do chemo and radiation and all of that. So, apricot seeds, you eat 5 a day or just take one capsule. They are very bitter, but bitter foods are so good for us. Bitter foods kill cancer cells. Like, think dark leafy greens, collard greens, like so bitter. We need the bitter foods, but we don't like the taste, but they really work. And also so great for gut health and the brain. Oh my gosh, just so, so good.
Dr. Gundry's bitter is better. Like, I interviewed him and it was bitter is better, bitter is better. So I know.
Wow, there we go. Bitter is better. I didn't know he said that. I'm gonna use that as well. That's awesome. I love Dr. Gundry.
Oh yeah, we had a good one on that. Trust me.
Yeah, that's amazing. He's just so great. Oh my gosh. I have to listen to your podcast with him. So the B17, and then the third one is sulforaphane. So sulforaphane is a compound found in broccoli sprouts. It is in broccoli, but it's 50 times more potent in broccoli sprouts. And it's been studied for 25 years with John Hopkins, with Dr. Talalay. He's one of the leading doctors in the world who have brought this forth to us. And all the studies they've done where the sulforaphane's been present with cancer cells and tumors, no tumor can hold form with sulforaphane present. It kills, breaks up tumors, it kills cancer cells. It's amazing. So having that in your body every single day is just, I mean, these three things, you feel like you're like, I'm killing all cancer cells. And this body is impossible to cancer. There's no way that cancer can grow.
Beautiful. So chlorophyll is kind of though the center of all this, right? That's kind of like the backbone of everything we're doing here, because it was like detox chlorophyll. This was the first one you listed on the anti-cancer. So that's kind of the backbone of everything, right?
Well, that is for like detox and maintenance. Mm-hmm. But I would say, you know, for cancer prevention, you really want to get the B17 in there. You want to make sure you're like killing any active cancer cells that might be in there. For people who have cancer, you know, it's different. Like I have all different protocols. Like if someone has cancer, they need to take a more extreme approach.
Sure.
A lot more. But yeah, the chlorophyll is just so good for like maintenance forever.
You have your own line of products, correct? That's what you're coming out with, like chlorophyll and everything like that. You're developing.
Yeah, I'm coming out with a bundle. Yeah, so people gotta go on and get my cancer prevention bundle and get those three things. So I'm so excited for that. That'll come out in the next 6 months, and then but I do have one supplement for anxiety at the moment.
Let's talk about that. I have a family history there. I have suffered with it prior to, so I have done a lot of studying on it, and I take it kind of more personal to me in terms of something that I want to talk about. Tell me about your supplement. What's in it and how does it work?
Yeah. So it has 10 natural organic ingredients. And this was a lot of like research, a lot of science. I formulated it with a medical doctor and a pharmacist.
Okay.
And so basically the ingredients, one of the main ingredients is ashwagandha.
Mm-hmm.
Ashwagandha is excellent for the nervous system and for the brain. So science tells us that it takes like 6 to 8 weeks of taking ashwagandha for it to really have changed your nervous system. So anyone with anxiety, I say you've got to commit to this for 8 weeks, and then you should be able to notice a really big difference in your nervous system, because it changes your neurotransmitters, it rewires it. It's incredible. It also helps with deep REM sleep too.
Okay.
At the end of the day. And I also have in there Swashandra berry, which that's a berry that the government used at one time to, mm-hmm. to keep the pilots alert when yep. flying the planes. So it gives a nice little boost of energy. It is very immune boosting. It has echinacea. It has ginkgo. It also has omega-3s from the spirulina, the chlorella, and the flax.
Nice.
And it has celery. It's very hydrating. It's so good for the adrenal support, so good for the gut and the brain and the nervous system. So all these systems kind of work together. So it's a complete blend for the nervous system. And if you go to New York at Juice Press, there it's a juice chain. You can actually add them as a booster to any smoothie or smoothie bowl. It's awesome. And people who are sensitive, they feel it right away. They're like, I can feel it within the first day. And then people go off it sometimes and they're like, yeah, no, I could feel a difference. But you got to really stick to it for 8 weeks to notice a new like change in your nervous system. Yeah.
Awesome. Perfect. Okay. And what's that called? What's your supplement called?
It's called Anxiety Free.
Okay.
And yeah, so that's on my website, lianasorganics.com. You can also find it on the Earth Diet, which is my main website. But on Amazon, it's called Ashwagandha Advantage, because I learned a lot about the supplement actually industry making my own, because the manufacturers suggested I put rice into my supplement. And I was like, and there's no way I'm putting rice in my supplement. They're like, you're going to make so much more money. And I'm like, it does not matter. You know, I'm one of those people that, yes, in life, I want to make money, obviously, and be comfortable. God wants all of us to be comfortable. But that's not the top thing. Like, no, I don't care about making that extra money. I'm not going to put rice in my supplement. First mm-hmm. of all, I don't want to consume rice every day. If I'm going to have rice, it's a special occasion. And second of all, like, that's embarrassing. People are taking my supplement and they're having rice every day. Like, that goes against all my nutritional principles. The only reason someone adds rice to a supplement is to make more money. Bottom line. Yeah,
the unfortunate aspect, and this is good and bad for me. I've been in the supplement, around the supplement industry for 15 years. So I know every dirty trick and filler and thing they do to dumb down a product to make more money. And they fill with far worse than that. Trust me when I tell you, because I've seen it all. I started educating people on protein powders in like 2012, when I really started to understand like these big box companies, like, well, maybe I shouldn't say anything, but some of the bigger ones that you would see that you now like see at Costco and stuff, and they have all the money to market. So, and they have all of the fake reviews and all of the nonsense that you don't know what's what. And they have the worst, grainiest, cheapest out of the country powders, but they're cheap, and they get people to bodybuilders and people to hold them up and pose with them and take a couple pictures. And before you know it, and you don't know what you're taking. You just don't know what you're taking. If it's not like, I'm very, very cautious with like FDA regulated facilities and reading the actual, like really understanding the labels on supplements. Because you look at some of these things and you're looking at them and it's like a foreign language. You know what I mean? And if you're not, if you're not aware, you don't know what probably 50% of the label is by the time you get down to the bottom, you know? You bet you're like, for instance, it'll say like whey protein isolate concentrate, whatever. And then you start going down and you're like, what the hell is this? What is this? What is this? What is this? You know, and it's nothing good.
No, if you can't grow it in your own backyard, technically, like you should not be taking it.
No, No.
Crazy.
Trust me when I tell you, the longer that you're in this, you're going to learn a hell of a lot more and see like things that are just like despicable. And it's good that you have that like mentality and awareness that you can see and know ahead of time and that you have the right heart, because a lot of people don't. They don't. And then people wonder why certain things cost more. Well, it's because they're actually made right. You know?
Right. Like you're buying my supplement and you're not going to be paying for rice.
Yeah, exactly. I know I've kept you longer and I know you're traveling. You've been overly generous. I'm sorry we got off on good tangents here. So
good. Oh my gosh.
I really appreciate it. We could probably go at least another couple hours on this call. Too passionate, but tell everybody again where they can follow you, where your website is, all of that. So, and then I'll link everything in the description for you as well.
Okay. Yeah. Amazing. So you can reach me at theearthdiet.com, and you can also just Google The Earth Diet and all of my platforms will come up, whether it's X or Instagram, Facebook, my website. And yeah, I have a ton of recipes and free protocols and things at my website. My books are all on Amazon, so you can type in Liana Werner Gray for my books. And yeah, my supplement, Ashwagandha Advantage, is on Amazon. And I look forward to connecting with you guys. And Dylan, you are so amazing. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.
This channel. And yeah, just awesome convo.
Well, we're gonna do whatever we can to spread the word, and I'm gonna help as much as I can, and I'll talk to you after about anything else I could possibly do.
Yeah, and please, everyone, call your senators, because we need to call the senators. You know, that's how we really helped get RFK approved. We need to call the senators and say, please do not give these pesticide companies immunity. They need to be held responsible. If they want to put out a product with cancer in the world, at least they need to pay people's lawsuits. That's the very least.
That's right. And let me tell you something right now. Every single voice does matter. I know that it may seem like it doesn't, but it always, always, always does. The noisier you are, the more impact you'll make.
We got to be noisy. Yeah. And you know, you can just Google your senators and email them and call them if you can, because at the end of the day, if they're like, oh, we had, you know, 105 people call us today, interview, you know, versus if you didn't, they'd be like, oh, we had 104, right? The more the numbers, the better. Like, we need every single voice.
It all adds up, trust me. So
yeah, and be part of it too. You know, be part of this energy, this frequency, be a part of the Maha action. And yeah.
Trust me, we have a platform that we're going to use, but your voice helps us have a bigger platform, and your support helps us have a bigger platform, and it helps us to get the word out. Otherwise, we can't either. It takes a group effort. Everybody's got a role here. And, you know, the people that have the ability to use the platform, you help us to do that. So just want to put that out there too.
But yes, yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this and it was enlightening and helpful. Stay tuned for plenty more to come. Dylan Jamelli and Liana Werner Gray signing off.
Epic.